Initiating transmission. Data received.
Here we go. It's started now.
I'm going to get on iTunes right now. See if there's anything.
I bet there aren't.
I bet there isn't. I'm actually kind of digging the podcast app now.
Yeah?
I think they've ironed out a lot of the bugs.
Remember when there were bugs at the beginning?
I remember there were bugs.
It's causing us a lot of grief.
Okay. The page I came up on was This Week in Marvel.
Yeah.
That's a podcast I'm listening to now.
Okay.
It's a Marvel Comics podcast, but it's like the guy...
What do they talk about?
You know, Marvel Comics.
Oh.
And they talk about Marvel movies and Marvel toys and all these things. But it's done by the guys at Marvel. So it's kind of funny to listen to when they talk about the week's comics for Marvel.
Do they say how great it is?
They talk about how each issue is, oh, this one's great, this one's great. It's because they have to, because it's Marvel. And it's funny to hear them try to put good spins on issues that really aren't that good.
I know, it's ridiculous.
I do want to talk a little bit
about
Marvel.
By the way, did you hear about the last Action Features episode?
I don't listen to that.
Number 26? It was great.
I don't listen to it anymore.
It was excellent. You should
like
listen to it.
Else.
No, you should listen to it.
11 ratings still. Still nothing new.
That's okay.
Blaze is behind. He's behind a couple episodes.
Really? Even the family is. My mom.
He wants to. We just haven't had a chance
behind
to sit
too,
down.
I think.
Well, with the holidays, you know, with Halloween and everything.
Halloween was
last night. It was pretty busy lately, so we haven't had a chance to really listen. It was. We had a blast last night.
Yeah.
Halloween. I didn't get to talk to you about Halloween yet.
No, we didn't talk about it.
Well, you know the boys. You saw the video.
Yep, I did.
Which I should post that on Action Features. Did I post it? I may have posted it on Action
Features.
I thought
you did.
I think I did.
On the Facebook, at least.
I think I did. Well, the boys win as Blaze win as Captain America, and Keaton win as Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real rainy.
Two-thirds of the Avengers.
Two-thirds. Yep. Okay. More than three members. But we went out last night, and it was cold, and it was rainy. It was like a rainy cold.
Yeah, it was nasty.
But we still wanted to go out, so that we just put long johns on underneath the suits, and we just took an umbrella out. There were a lot of kids out, which I was still happy about, you know, because it's not as much as usual, but there was still a lot out for the weather we had.
They got to get that candy, man.
They had to get the candy. They had to get
it. All that candy just sitting there.
Yeah. We were walking around, and people were saying, you know, they were recognizing, they were seeing Hulk first, because Keaton's little, you know,
right,
he's got this
Hulk
suit. It's funny looking. It's cute. They would go, oh, there's the Hulk. All right. Look at you guys, you know. After a few times of that, Blaze was like, all I ever hear about is the Hulk. I'm the leader of the team. When am I going to get some recognition?
You start hitting people in the head with shield. With the shield.
He wanted recognition. I'm like, man, that's not Captain America. He's not looking for recognition. He's like, well, I'm not the real Captain America. I would like some recognition.
Yeah.
It was very funny. And there's this one house that does all these like graveyards and things.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to walk down it. It's a really elaborate. It's really cool. And there was one guy that was obviously, you know, a guy, you know, like a zombie type thing laying there. And he was going to jump out and scare people. And Blaze was not having any part of it. He was walking on the other side. He's like, I'm walking on the other side of you. I'm going around. I was like, you're not acting a lot like Captain America right now. And he's like, I'm telling you, I'm not Captain America. I'm just in the costume.
You're trying to remind you.
And I'm going to walk on this side. He was not enjoying the scare factor.
I didn't go much for that either when I was younger.
I loved it.
I don't like being.
I love being
scared or haunted houses. Yep,
I really enjoy it.
I never cared for it.
So what did you pass out candy? What'd you do?
I didn't pass out candy. I don't really have a lot of kids on my street.
Do you have a Jolly Rancher in your mouth right
it's
now?
It's a cough drop. Okay, I'm
okay.
A little under the weather.
All right.
It's a Ricola.
So what did you do? What did you do?
Ricola is awesome. That's
Ricola
my favorite
awesome.
Cough drop. Okay. Yeah. I rented the movie Hijacked. It's a Randy Couture straight-to-video movie.
Oh, that sounds just like a Halloween
film. It was not good.
Oh, really?
And,
so were you at your house?
I was at my house, yeah.
Did kids knock at your door?
Nope.
Okay.
I don't have any kids on my street. I saw maybe two kids go by, and last year we didn't have any either, so I didn't buy candy.
I'd say one thing I did enjoy this year. After we only walked around for like an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
We went back to the house. And my mom had been passing out candy at our house. And so I started passing out candy, which we do each year when the kids get tired, we come back. And then I pass out candy for like an hour.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of kids. And then occasionally you'll see the teenagers that come up with the black t-shirts and a pillowcase.
Right.
Trick or treat. Just trying to get candy.
Yep.
And I give them candy because I'm not going to be a jerk.
Right.
There were barely any of that this year. I guess the rain and the cold made them go,
kept them away.
I'm a teenager and I'm lazy. I'm not going to get out and get in the cold and the rain. So that was nice, not seeing the punk teenager kids floating around. The other thing that was nice is that I gave out comics this year. I gave out
that's a good idea
comic books, and yeah. Kids were taking the comics. Like, oh yeah, comic. And the first they were like, "Do I only get the comic or the candy?" I'm like, "No, you get both. If you want a comic, you get candy too."
Right.
And so I gave out comics, which I really I had a fun time.
It was good. Did you get them out of the? Did you get like 25-cent comics or
something? No, I had bought like a couple years back. I'd bought a ton. They did a 10-cent Batman comic.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought 100 of them to give out for Halloween.
Oh wow!
And I'd actually forgotten them every single year, and I still forgot them this year. But I bought, I think 50 copies of the first Star Trek book to get a signed copy.
Mm-hmm.
And I bought a bunch of another one to get a variant cover. So I had all those kind of stockpiled down in the basement. I'm like, well, I can't find the Batman ones. I'll do those next year, but I'll do all these Star Trek ones that have extra.
That's cool.
About Star Trek comics. It was pretty cool.
It's a good way to do it.
Yeah. Oh, what are we doing here?
I don't even know.
Do an intro.
I don't know what we're talking about.
You know it's
about.
Action Features.
You know where you're at.
I think it's episode 27. I don't even know anymore.
It is 27. Yeah. Yep.
So this is going to be like a free-for-all episode, in case you haven't already gotten the gist of that. We have a lot of like big news to catch up on that we kind of want to give our opinions on some things.
Yep.
So we're going to just launch right into that.
Let's go into that.
Well, I have a little toy news.
Talk about the toy news.
A little toy news.
If you don't like toys, just fast forward.
I've plumb forgotten it.
Fast forward
it. Oh, I got that Hot Toys DX Luke today.
That is fantastic.
Isn't it great?
I have to say that's the best. It's the best.
It's the best Star Wars toy.
Ever
made.
Almost, yeah.
I think it's fantastic.
It's the best Luke figure
ever
made.
It's the best Luke without a doubt. It's so good.
I was blown away by it.
It takes a lot to impress you when it comes to like the 12-inch.
It really does.
Scale stuff.
Like I said, they're getting better with the clothing. That's always been my main problem.
That's the main thing is that you can't make material 1/6 scale material. It's
right.
Going to be the same, but they do a good job of it. They make the threading really tiny and the stitching very small and the buttons very small.
Really
I think he's great, man.
He looks great.
He's so nice.
The head sculpt is so good.
It's very good.
And you get two figures.
You get two whole figures. And I didn't even take out that big base.
Yeah,
the big weather vane base.
See the
it's
base.
All lighted. It's like this tall.
It's great.
I'm showing you, but they can't see at home.
That's about he's holding
it's, like
it's
two
about
feet.
2 feet. It's not 2 feet. The box is not that big.
It's broken into pieces.
It must be
weather vane is
that.
Like 2 feet.
It's got to be two
and it's
feet
light
tall
up.
Then.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
Wow.
There was some other toy thing I wanted to talk to you about. Oh, the Grayskull's still up for pre-order. It's like halfway or something.
Was it slugs? Slug zombies?
Those are cool.
Scary little ugly guys?
Who got you those slug zombies?
Because you got me this pack.
I did. I got that for you.
These are so cool. They remind me of Muscles.
Yeah.
And they've... Well, the pack you got me... Obviously has a Rambo character.
It's got a Rambo character
in it. And that's Captain Payback is his name. It comes with a little sheet, and it's got all the characters that you can get. And they have like a...
Yeah.
You know, their rundown of their stats and everything, and their favorite quotes. And a lot of these guys are parodies of popular movie characters. Just great.
Parodies...
No, don't say that,
James.
I
stopped it. It's a clean show.
Don't say that.
It's a family show.
I wouldn't say that. If I were you, I wouldn't.
Nobody would say that.
So anyway, yeah, that's not what you're talking about. Those are really cool, though. I really enjoy these.
Real quick.
Yeah.
What was your least favorite Halloween candy that you get? When you'd get the Halloween candies,
mm-hmm.
What was the one where you'd see it and you'd go,
I'm not a big chocolate guy, but I don't have any memory of getting any chocolate I didn't want. People want to say the circus peanuts.
They don't really give those out for Halloween, though.
That's where that was became my least favorite, because one year I did get somebody was giving them out. They were not individually wrapped.
Ooh.
They were just handing out like circus peanuts out of a. I was like, I don't know where your hands have been.
Yeah.
I know they've at least been on this peanut, but I don't know where else they've been.
Yeah.
It's kind of gross. I don't know. This has been floating around in my pillowcase with all this candy.
That's gross.
Yeah, that's gross.
There's a one that came in like a black and orange wrapper.
I know what you're talking about. It's almost like a peanut buttery.
Almost.
Butterscotch.
Didn't like those.
Yeah, I like those.
I didn't like those. I also still don't like Smarties.
You don't like Smarties?
You know why?
No, I don't.
Because it was too easy to open them and rewrap them. It always freaked me out.
Oh, okay.
That maybe somebody opened this.
Okay.
And then spit in it and then rewrapped it
up. So it's not Smarties that you have a problem with?
I'm not a huge fan of them, I gotta be honest. They're not great to begin with.
It's okay.
But put on top of that the fact that they could be on, and sometimes they'd come unfurled in your bag,
mm-hmm.
and there'd be Smarties all over the place. Oh, what is this?
Yep.
Smarties all over my bag? I don't want that.
They crumble kind of easily. Ugh. Have Smartie nice. Dust.
All right. Well, anyway, back to it. I think I'll try and think of some other toy stuff later on.
Okay.
Mostly, we're going to talk about movie stuff.
Mostly, yeah.
Because there's a lot of big movie stuff that happened in the last couple weeks.
It's happening, and it's going to happen.
I'm going to start off with the Iron Man 3 trailer.
Okay, yeah, good.
That looks great.
It looks great.
I think it looks great.
Looks really, really, really good.
It looks a lot darker than the first two, but you got to think that after everything that Stark has been through in the first two movies and the big happenings of Avengers, his attitude would start to change a bit. Like, it wouldn't be... I don't think he could stay the whole happy-go-lucky, I'm just a billionaire being Iron Man type thing. It would start to kind of go, man, there's so much coming after me, and there's so much evil, and there's so much this, there's so much that. I've got to become prepared for all these different things, and it looks like that's where they're going. And Ben Kingsley as Mandarin, I think, is great.
But they had to make it make sense, which it looks like they did wait for that.
Yep. They've
already had three movies with his character being the way he is.
Yeah.
And now... I think it's time to switch it up. I think it is too. He's my favorite of all the Marvel lineup, I think, but...
Mine's still Cap.
But good to change it up a little bit. Give him a little dimension, you know, because he wouldn't be untouched by all these things.
Plus, if you had the same thing three times in a row of his movies, four if you count Avengers in there, of him being that same character again, it'd be kind of tough to do something fresh and new with it. You know, if you're having to do that same take on the character again. A lot of people are upset because Mandarin isn't Asian.
Okay.
But you got to take into account the fact that they've changed all of Stark's origin from what it originally was. I mean, he's, you know, the war is different. It's facing a different kind of the villains against America or whatever. The times are different, so they're changing certain things up. And I think Ben Kingsley's going to do a great job as Mandarin. Just from that little clip in there, I thought he seemed intimidating. The voiceover was really, you know, it kind of like, I was like, wow, that sounds so cool. He sounds like such a cool villain.
Yeah.
Whereas, I'm going to go on a little Nolan rant here. When you hear the Bane voiceover in those trailers, it was a joke. You know, it was just, you couldn't even understand it. Whereas when you hear the Ben Kingsley Mandarin voiceover, it was really kind of chilling. I thought it was very well done. I can't wait for the movie. I think it's going to be great.
I think it's going to be great. The at the end where it shows him dragging his armor behind him, that's going back to what I really loved about the first movie. Not that that happened, but there was an organic feel in the first movie. He puts together the first suit, and it's clunky, and it's real. It's down to earth, even though it's a fictitious thing. And I didn't see all of Iron Man 2, but most of that is... the suit and the CG and that's fine. That's fine. His lines are really what gets me. But I like the kind of a return to more like being a little bit more down to earth, a little more having real props and things like that. And you said that they actually had the suits.
Yeah,
like they had pictures of the suits. So
that's how everybody knew about it beforehand. They were on the set with these suits with the Iron Patriot.
And I'm sure they've done that for each film.
Well,
but
I think after the first film, they started making it so that it was mostly just from, like, the hips up, because the legs were so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So they did tracking on the legs and CGI'd the leg armor on, which you can't even tell. It blends so well. And the upper torso was a practical suit.
Right.
The Iron Patriot,
mm-hmm.
the War Machine, that's a great way to work Iron Patriot in, because Iron Patriot in the comics is Norman Osborn, and you can't use Norman Osborn in this. So to tie the Iron Patriot armor in, to put it Rhodey in the Iron Patriot armor, which that's not really a spoiler if you've seen any pictures in the movie, it's War Machine's armor is now Iron Patriot armor. It even says Lieutenant Colonel Rhodes on the armor. So sorry if you feel like I'm spoiling something, but feel that way.
Should learn to read.
Don't feel that way. You can read. That's a good way of working Iron Patriot in, is that Rhodey is in the military. He's got the War Machine suit. He's still in the military. So it would make kind of sense that it'd become an American symbol, that War Machine armor.
It looks cool.
I think it looks cool. I can't wait, man.
Looks cool.
Speaking of Marvel, that's the other thing I wanted to talk about, was Marvel Comics right now.
Okay.
I'm pretty excited about Marvel Comics. Like, it's been a while since I've been excited about reading Marvel Comics.
So the podcast worked.
It worked. No, not the Marvel Comics podcast, but
Yep.
The Marvel Comics did. Here's the thing. both DC and Marvel have been almost... Is it inapproachable or unapproachable?
Unapproachable.
Unapproachable for years if you're not, like, into it. Because there's so many crossovers and so many things building off of another and all this storyline and this storyline. You couldn't just go into a comic shop and pick up a comic for the most part unless you were plugged into all this stuff that's going on. I think Marvel was a little more guilty of it than DC was, but when DDO took over at DC, they just followed suit with Marvel. It was just crossover after crossover after crossover. And so you had to, like... If you wanted to pick up an issue of Green Lantern, it was almost impossible. Because it's like in the middle of Blackest Night, or if it's in the middle of the Black Lantern Corps, or something like that. It was just so many things were tied into each other. And so I kind of gave up on both Marvel and DC. Then DC did their big relaunch thing, which we've talked about on the podcast before, where they ended all the continuity and started over with new number ones, new takes on the characters, new origins, and just kind of hit the reset button on the DC universe. Except for they said Batman, and I think Green Lantern would be untouched, but... It became more and more obvious that they were touched too. Like everything was, everything just started over.
Yeah.
So all the years and continuity, all those storylines were all just gone, right?
Yeah.
So that was not the right way to bring in new readers and make it approachable, because then you've alienated everybody that stuck with it for so long.
Yep.
Right. Marvel, which Marvel copies DC a lot, on a lot of different storylines and stuff, they said, okay, we're going to do Marvel now. We're going to do relaunches at number one and everything like that, right? But they're doing it. And the way I wish DC would have done it is they had a kind of a crossover event with Avengers vs. X-Men, which I did read, and it was enjoyable. It was 12 issues, and I felt like I could just read those 12 issues and not be too concerned with everything else that was going on.
Yeah.
It was a decent read,
yeah.
And it was I could just read those 12 issues and get the whole story. I didn't have to read 50 other books. Yeah. Right? So spinning out of that storyline has been... they've kind of ended all the series, and they've kind of wrapped up a bunch of storylines they're doing. And I don't know this 100% for sure because I don't read all the books. But it seems like they're wrapping up a lot of existing storylines, restarting a lot of books at number one with new creative teams, but they're not getting rid of all those years of continuity and all those storylines that happened to those characters. They're just making it a kind of a cleaner slate where they're all out of these ongoing storylines, and you can jump in and read a book and not feel like you missed a bunch of storylines. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about picking up a new Captain America number one that still is the same Captain America you know, but you don't have to know all the stuff that's been going on for forever and feel like you've...
Are they still doing... they're going to have, like, mini-series, like a four-issue series, or is it going to be, like, one-offs? Like,
they're all new series.
Okay, so
it'll be, like, an ongoing series.
So you are tied in.
You are tied in. Well, if you keep going with the book.
Right.
But you're free to just pick up Captain America number one and check it out and see if you want to keep reading from there or not.
Right.
I'm sure months from now you won't be able to just jump right in.
Right.
Because not every book can be a starting on point forever. But I think that they're wising up and they're kind of going, we can't keep doing this forever. We can't keep doing all these storylines that build off a storyline that build off a storyline because we're not going to get new readers. And I think Marvel being owned by Disney might have a lot to do with this. And the Avengers, the movie being such a big hit, might have a lot to do with this.
Yeah.
Because they want to bring in new readers and they want people to be able to go in and buy a comic and they want kids in there and everything like that. Like, I just read this comic came out this week called A Plus X, which is an Avenger plus an X-Man, like, teaming up. It's like a Marvel team-up book. And there's two storylines. And in the front page of the book even, like, spills it out for you. Like, it says, do I need to read Avengers versus X-Men for this? No, you don't. You know, you don't have to read that at all. This is just going to be a fun story that you can just plug up and pick up and read. Oh, where does this take place in continuity? Don't worry about all that. This is just a fun read. It's just a couple of your favorite characters meeting and having a crossover. And it was a ton of fun. I mean, it's not high art.
Right.
You know, and it's not like Dark Knight Returns or something like that. But it was just, the first storyline is Cable coming back in time and meeting Captain America back during World War II. And they have a crossover real quick and they fight a bad guy and that's pretty much the end of the story. And then the second storyline is Wolverine and Hulk. And I'm sorry if I'm spoiling something for you. But the future Wolverine and Hulk, Maestro and Wolverine in his brown jacket, you know, almost like Days of Future Past Wolverine, come back in time to fight that Wolverine and Hulk
for
a certain reason. I won't tell you why.
Don't tell me why.
But it was fun, and I was like, I can let Blaze read this, and I won't have to sit here and go, listen to him have to go, I don't understand this, Dad. Who's this character? Who's that guy? Who's this guy? He can just read that book.
Right.
And there's barely any books nowadays, other than the Marvel Age stuff that's aimed at the kids, which he's getting a little too old for, that he can do that with. And so it's really cool that Marvel's kind of doing this, that they're making stuff accessible again, but not alienating the old readers. I think it's awesome.
So be sure to pick up the new algebra textbook.
Yeah.
A plus X.
A plus X. What is the X? What is the A?
I don't know.
Break it down and find out.
That's right. You got to figure out the equation.
Okay, so that's
the
it.
Equation.
I'm okay. Sorry to jump that out there.
No, it's no.
But I'm
sorry.
Excited. I mean, we
don't be sorry.
Talk
we,
about
we have a show.
We're supposed to talk about.
We have a show where
here.
We do this.
We
all,
do this all the time.
We do what we want.
We're doing what we want right now.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Cap. I'm excited about Wolverine. I picked up Uncanny Avengers. It was a decent read. I thought the last panel, the last page, which I won't spoil for the listeners, if you haven't picked up Uncanny Avengers yet. I thought the last page was very old school comic.
Uncanny X-Men.
Uncanny Avengers.
Uncanny Avengers.
That's what it's called.
Oh, I think you said X-Men first time.
Did I?
I think
I meant to say Uncanny Avengers, okay. If I didn't say that. That's spinning out of Avengers vs. X-Men. Captain America's concerned that they haven't done enough for mutants, so he's building another team that will have mutants on the team to kind of put mutants in the public eye.
Oh.
So it's an Avengers team that has mutants on it.
Okay.
So the book's called Uncanny Avengers.
That's cool.
It's cool. All right, so we talked about the Iron Man 3 trailer.
Yes, we did.
What else we got to talk about?
We've got a couple more trailers that have hit probably since the last time.
You go ahead.
One being Die Hard 5, which we kind of talked about the last time, but I've watched it. I think it's going to be pretty good.
Don't worry about the kid thing.
I'm worried about the kid thing. Yeah. People are saying, oh, he's got a son. He had a son in the first movie. We just didn't see him. There, you could see there was a family photograph, and there was the two kids. He had a daughter.
You've seen the daughter.
He had a daughter and son. Yeah. We saw the daughter. Who was awesome, by the way. It's just not.
Is she in the new one? Is the
I don't
same?
Think so. I don't think okay. so. They've barely showed in the trailer. You can't even see
the son. Yeah.
And I looked up this guy. I don't know who he is. I'm not that impressed with his photograph.
Yeah.
But
you really judge men based on their photographs.
I do. That's how I judge it.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
But whatever. It could be okay. I think they have to be careful not to make it. You know,
John McClane Jr.
Yeah. And Yippee-ki-yay, right, Dad?
Yeah.
Okay, and you know, but
that's why I'm a little worried about the trailer.
Yeah,
not showing him so much.
Right,
is maybe they know that people would not enjoy.
They know
that,
people don't like
so they're
that.
Hiding that in the trailer. That's that's you know crazy. Off
you know
the
what could be awesome? Kill his son off in the first 5 minutes.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
And then have John McClane just be like,
vengeance.
"Hey,
he's Die Hard with a vengeance.
He's Die Hard with a vengeance.
Yeah,
they should do that.
Use that.
Shoot, Die Hard the Revenger.
Yeah, the Revenger man.
The first Revenger.
Yeah, the first Revenger.
Yep.
Hey, look at this. Look what I did earlier.
What'd you do?
It's pumpkin. We have one pumpkin donut left.
Yep. I can't have it. I'm not going to eat it.
I cut it in half for us, buddy.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm not.
Why don't you have
I'm
it?
Trying to avoid the sugar right now because I'm getting starting
sick?
To get sick, yeah.
Why don't you eat that molasses?
Nah, I won't have any of that either.
I'm going to eat half. I cut it in half already.
But it looks like there's some really cool moments.
Bad word. Dang it, I meant to say.
I'll have to cut that out. I will cut that right out. That's the first time. First time in 27 episodes. So that looks good. I'll watch Bruce Willis anytime he wants to be John McClane. I'll watch whatever. That's fine. So that came out. A new Bullet to the Head trailer, which is the new Stallone movie. I'm amazed at what Stallone is doing right now. He's 66 years old, I think. 67 years old. And he just did Expendables 2, and he's got Bullet to the Head coming out, and he's filming another movie called The Tomb, and he's got another movie in the works, and I heard a rumor, again, that Rambo 5 has been greenlit. I don't know how much truth there is to that. I only heard it from one source, but he's just so active. It's like his third wind that he's got right now, and I look at him and all these things and, like, doing all of his own stunts and everything, and, like, you know, he's the same age as my neighbor lady across the street, and she can barely get up the steps by herself to the front porch. So I just,
Stallone should start training her.
But anyway, the movie looks awesome. Like Expendables, if Expendables is the sort of an 80s throwback and Rambo's kind of an 80s throwback, then Bullet to the Head is sort of his 90s fair throwback. It's a little bit more, like in the 90s, it was less, there were still one-liners and stuff. But they're trying to make it seem a little. It feels different. But anyway, I think that looks awesome. Gangster Squad, which
you
I
showed me that today.
Yeah, they put out a new
that
trailer.
Looks great.
Well, you know, they had a trailer out a while back, and it had them busting through a movie screen.
That's
in the
one they had to pull for Dark Knight.
And after Dark Knight happened, they pulled that, and I think they reshot something to take place of that. So they don't. That scene's
that
not
seems
even
totally
going to be a movie now.
Which is ridiculous.
I think it's stupid.
That's ridiculous.
I'm so sorry that tragedy happened, but if that affects you in that way, and you know that this is in this movie, don't go see that movie.
Well, once we start altering our lives,
then they win.
They win.
The terrorists win.
That's not. We shouldn't go back and go, oh, well, we've got to do that. We can't change. We got to say this. We got to change that. Then you're letting them win. You know, they've affected you. They've affected our lives.
Exactly.
Because of this. We should be sad about what happened, like you said, but we shouldn't let it change our lives.
That's not the same scenario as what happened in real life anyway. Yeah, just because, I mean, you're going to take down every part. You're going to go back and edit all the movies that had the Twin Towers in it. You're going to edit out. You're going to airbrush those out. I mean, it's kind of silly. But anyway, they had the new trailer, which is what you watched today. And I think it looks just great. It looks better than the...
Sean Penn should play a gangster guy all the time.
Star-studded cast. Everybody in there looks like...
Nick Nolte!
They're really fitting the part.
Look at that!
Nick Nolte coming back.
He's all cleaned
up. Yeah.
He's not all crazy looking again.
He's gonna... Yeah, he's not crazy looking.
Looking is what I'm saying.
But he fits in that...
Yeah.
He fits in that sort of
I like thing. His voice.
Yeah, he's got a cool voice now.
He's got a cool voice.
It's time for him to start maybe coming back after this. Who knows? He might have a couple
I'd love
more
to see him do some voiceover work for some different, like maybe some of those DC animated films or something.
Oh, that'd be great.
I think he's got a very cool voice.
He does. That would be great.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. So that's Bullets Ahead. Those are all the trailers. There's some news.
Yeah.
As far as movies. We'll lead up to the big one,
which everybody knows we're going to talk about. But.
Prometheus came out on DVD.
I still haven't seen
which
it.
Which you haven't seen.
I still haven't seen it.
I might pick it up. The consensus on the movie is what it is, and everybody knows, but I heard that they have a 4-disc edition that's out, and it's like, I forget how many hours of like making of the film and leading up to the film, and I read a review that said it was...
Does it make it
was worth that
more understandable film?
Yeah, and it was worth the purchase just to get in there. I mean, I like learning about that stuff anyway, so that came out. There's a remake, which I didn't watch the trailer of. Are you talking to me?
Evil Dead. Evil Dead, yeah. Nick sent me that. He sent me the link to the trailer. Okay. When everybody thinks Evil Dead, they think Bruce Campbell's Ash.
Yep.
Right? Here's the thing. Bruce Campbell's Ash really isn't Ash.
Right.
Until Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness. Evil Dead 2 is almost like a redo of Evil Dead 1.
It really is.
You know, and it really makes Ash into, like, Ash, right? Evil Dead 1 is more your standard horror movie type fare. Yes. So the remake of Evil Dead is a remake of Evil Dead 1. So if you're going into it thinking, oh, how are they going to recast Ash, and, oh, you can't do Groovy Baby, and all that different stuff with, oh, Chainsaw Hand and all these different things.
Don't even think
about that. They're remaking the first Evil Dead. So it's really not so much that you have to even worry about them doing Ash justice, because Ash isn't Ash in the first Evil Dead, really.
Right.
The trailer was decent.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's a smart move to not even really... I don't even see a character that I think of as Ash in this trailer.
Yeah.
It's smart to kind of move away from that. If you want to redo Evil Dead, then don't even really touch on the fact that Ash is there and...
That's
and
what
Ash
they need to do.
Ash,
that's
you know?
What they need to do is avoid that.
Yeah, I think there were some really creepy moments in the trailer.
Yeah.
And it's being really endorsed by Bruce Campbell. Like, he says, you won't believe how creepy this movie is and how scary it's going to be. And it looks like a good, maybe, horror movie. Yeah. I'm kind of excited about it, you know?
Yeah.
Not every remake has to be horrible, guys. It doesn't always have to be, it's not as good as the original. It's not as good as the original.
Right.
We had the remake episode where we talked about this.
Yep. And oftentimes they aren't, but I think... If this is like what you're saying, treat it with some respect. Don't try to
remake Ash.
Don't try and remake Ash.
Yeah,
and like you said, Evil Dead is not Evil Dead 2.
Yeah, it's not the
Evil
same
Dead
thing.
2 is really pretty much a remake of Evil Dead.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness are a whole different entity than Evil Dead 1.
Totally different.
So and if you haven't seen the original Evil Dead and all you're thinking of is Ash from Evil Dead 2 and Army of Darkness, rewatch the original Evil Dead, and then you could see that if they remade this, it wouldn't be as bad as I'm thinking it's going to be. You know, like, they're going to try and redo Ash. It's really not that at all. So there was that.
There was some other pretty big news.
It's huge news.
Hold on. Not that huge.
I know what you're talking about, and I'm saying it's huge.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Muscles from Brussels.
Okay, Muscles from Brussels.
Which is not him, is it? Muscles from Brussels, isn't that Jean-Claude?
That's Jean-Claude. Yeah.
Which I read the other day that Jean-Claude was originally going to be the Predator in the Predator film.
Really?
Yeah. I was reading this on Yahoo or something like that.
Wow.
But then when they figured out his height and he wouldn't be intimidating around all these other guys like Carl Weathers
and Jesse
the Body and all that stuff, they said, no, we can't use him. We've got to use this 7'4 guy that's huge and buffed as the Predator. Can you imagine that? If the Predator would have been Jean-Claude, he would have been so tiny.
Well, if you looked at the designs for the creature before they came up with what they came up with, it was garbage. It would have ruined the movie.
I can't believe that, though.
But think about that. One little switch like that where somebody just was like, and now it's an iconic character. Yeah. I mean, it's
so
successful.
What would it have been? Had it been the other thing?
A throwaway cult classic, if anything.
Yeah. All right, so sorry, go ahead.
So anyway, so you know what it is. Arnold, it's been announced that Arnold signed on to do another Conan movie called The Legend of Conan.
Which is awesome.
Where he can probably be King Conan, I think.
Yeah, he'll be King Conan.
He'll be King Conan, and it's awesome.
They're totally saying that Conan the Destroyer, which is not very good.
It's okay.
It's okay. It's not very good, though. And then the Conan remake thing
fun.
With Mimosa or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're just ignoring those.
Good.
This is a sequel to Conan the Barbarian.
Good.
It's just going to go from Conan the Barbarian to this. I think it's awesome.
It could be really cool. It could be
cool. He's got to get jacked up.
I'm telling you, he's not going to go shirtless. He's not going
to
be able to get those.
You know what needs to happen? Is Stallone needs to take him to the gym.
Yeah.
Stallone needs to be his personal trainer, because Stallone goes shirtless all the time right now.
Yeah, he does.
And I'm like, dude, that guy is ripped.
He's ripped.
Man. He's jacked.
Hey, hey.
I need to get you to the gym, Arnold.
Yeah, hey, you got to put some olive oil on your skin.
You're looking pretty rough over there, man.
What's going on?
He needs to just get Stallone in there and go, get me back into shape. I'm looking horrible right now. Look at this body. Come on, I don't look fantastic. I got to look fantastic. Yeah. That's what needs to happen.
Yep.
You know,
that's what needs to happen.
He needs to get him in there. But if he doesn't get super jacked again, he needs to wear the furry vest thing.
We're at a period now where either things are done really well because whoever's helming it knows how to, or it's done crappy. But since Arnold, who is Conan, I mean, in a lot of people's minds, is on board, I think they'll treat this with respect.
I think
they'll say this is like our chance to
do another great
kind of make the sequel to the movie that we all love. And
we missed it with Conan the Destroyer making a sequel that could live up to the original one.
Right.
It's going to be tough to do anything that lives up to the original Conan the Barbarian.
Yeah, it will
but
be. I think there's a lot of potential here to make
if they could really play it right, and if Arnold can get into the shape he needs to be in for Conan.
Yeah.
And I agree that it probably won't be shirtless, but he still needs to get bigger and buffer. That one picture I showed you from, 10 or whatever that trailer?
Movie 10.
He's looking more in shape than he did a couple years back.
He definitely is.
He's moving
forward. I'm sure he's working out because, you know, he's doing all this stuff.
That one movie that he's in with Johnny Knoxville looks bad.
Last Stand.
I think that looks bad.
I can't wait to see it.
It looks to me like a made-for-TV or like a straight-to-DVD type movie.
I'm going
to
watch it.
I'm going to watch it too, but the quality of it looks straight-to-DVD comparatively to...
I'm the sheriff.
And I don't want the new Conan to be like that.
It's not going
to
be that.
I hope not. I'm excited, but I'm still...
It's gonna be what the last movie should have been.
Yeah,
but
I hope so.
An older, wiser King Conan who's pulled back into some adventure is right where it's at. I never thought
he would do another Conan.
I thought it
and
was
this
done.
Is a chance to see Arnold act again. And I mean, a lot of people make fun of Arnold and say, "Oh, Arnold's just muscles; he doesn't know how to act."
Yeah,
but Arnold can act.
Yeah,
you know,
I think he can.
Times there.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've seen him do that in a while.
You know,
really kind of act.
Well, no, he's been off screen for forever, and then, you know...
Just a bit role and
bit roles and Expendables, and...
In this new movie, I'm not sure if we're going to see him...
Yeah, he's going back to his bread and butter, you know, but, yeah, I think he can pull it. He can act. He can act seriously.
Exciting news. Of course, the big news.
Drum roll.
We're going to talk about, and you all see this coming, Disney has bought Lucasfilm. They've bought...
Holy crap! Holy crap!
And from what I read, they got everything. Like they got ILM.
Yeah, they got ILM.
The Lucasfilm. They got Skywalker Ranch. They got Skywalker Sound. They got THX. I think.
Wait a minute. They got the ranch.
I think they got the ranch.
Doesn't he live in the ranch?
I don't think so. I think he has a home, and then the Skywalker Ranch is actually where they do a lot of the film producing and things like that. I could be wrong, but that's one of the things I read.
No, you're probably right. I always just pictured him living there.
No, I don't know if he lives there. I think he's got a home. And then he's also got Skywalker Ranch that they built that facility so that people could come there and then make the movies and do these things.
Right.
That's what they send that Behind the Magic thing.
Okay. That's right then.
They got Star Wars.
Yep.
And they clarified and they said that they can't touch certain things about the original six that Fox has. There's certain restrictions on the original six still. They do have part of it, but there are certain restrictions when it comes to those original six films.
So as far as DVDs and distributing. I don't know. Stuff there.
Maybe 20th Century Fox still is involved in the distribution somehow.
Yeah.
With those films. I would hope that somehow they can get out the original versions.
Yes.
Because that's one of the things that Lucas has always kept away, is no original versions. You're only going to get my special editions and all that stuff.
Right.
I would love to see, now that Disney has it, and Disney puts out some awesome DVDs.
Yes, they do.
I would love to see them put out...
Cleaned up
original versions on Blu-ray. Yeah. Would be amazing.
I would love that.
But not to get up too far off, but Lucas has sold it all to Disney for $4.8
billion. Yep.
And they also get part of Indiana Jones. I don't think Spielberg still has part ownership of that.
Yes.
And I think Paramount might be somehow tied into it because they distributed those films.
Right.
But they still have part of Indiana Jones, and I think they can do certain things with it. It's just crazy.
It's crazy, yeah, but it's so appropriate.
I think it's great. I'm excited about it. Me and Joe were texting back and forth when it first happened, and he seemed pretty nervous about it, especially the announcement that Episode 7 was coming in 2015, and then 8 and 9 to finish off a new trilogy, and then new movies every 2 to 3 years after that.
Wow.
I think that worried him.
Yeah.
Because the prequels and how bad they were. But we got to keep in mind that one of the reasons the prequels are so bad is because George Lucas was in control of the prequels, and nobody was there to check him.
Yep.
We had this big discussion about this the other day. During the original trilogy, his wife, Marsha Lucas, was there to keep him in check and keep certain things in the films that you don't even really know about. I mean, she's kind of been erased from history after their divorce. Even that Behind the Magic thing, they just said, oh, she helped edit it. But there's a website online that really goes into depth about how much she contributed to those original films, like keeping in the mouse droid keeping in the kiss scene before they swing over the chasm. Her dog was the one that was actually called Indiana. She put in the Marion scene at the end of Raiders of the Lost Ark to show where Marion was, because they kind of just forgot about that.
Right.
There's so many things that she contributed both to the original Indiana Jones and Star Wars to give it its heart. And then she's gone, and you get the prequels.
Right.
And it's all George at control, nobody to rein him in, nobody give him checks.
Right. And they're garbage.
And they're garbage in comparison to those original films.
I think... It's almost sad, like Lucasfilm in itself is an entity, and he kind of just, but he's upset so many people. Like,
yeah.
I'm glad to see him just say, okay, you know what, I'm going to retire, and...
Time to move on, let somebody else do it.
Yeah, and he kind of threw a hissy fit a little bit ago when he was saying he wasn't going to do any more movies, but now that you've shut your mouth, George, you can let people kind of respect you in hindsight now and just say, okay, you created, you know, one of the greatest franchises ever.
Two
of the great, yeah, I mean, really, yeah, he did. He did come up with...
He came up with Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones. So, but get out while he's not quite ahead.
Yeah.
But get out now, and you got $4 billion to...
What's crazy about that? The $4 billion?
Yeah.
Charity.
He gave all of it to charity?
Almost, for what I'm reading online, he's going to use the $4.8 billion to fund education.
That's cool.
Yeah,
he's got enough.
Yeah, his educational philanthropic, is that how you say
philanthropy, yes.
That's what he wants to do. He wants to just move into philanthropy and just, he's going to use the $4.8 million to move towards education, which is crazy. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, good for him.
And that deal just became 10 times cooler, because before it was like, oh, George just wants to get money. And
right.
But it's not about money. He's going to put the money towards...
Right.
A good cause, you know.
He's got plenty of money,
but he is doing a lot with his money towards good causes now.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's cool. And so it wasn't just about that. It really, I think, is about maybe making Star Wars accessible to, and not making sure it dies. You know, that it ends with him.
That's an article I read made it kind of sound like that. Like he was like, you know, it's time to pass this on to another generation, because he's done everything that he can do. And.
And I think everybody loves the Clone Wars. People talk about the Clone Wars cartoon. I don't really watch it because I moved away from Star Wars.
Yeah.
But everybody talks about how it's really decent, and Lucas isn't in control of that.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a separate thing, and that may be one of the reasons why he became more okay with, okay, I can trust Star Wars to certain people, and they'll do maybe good things with it. And I think Disney will do good things with it.
I think so. I look at Tron. I know some people complain about the plot of Tron, but once again... It's based on a movie that where the story is people get sucked into a computer world and a video game. What else are they going to do?
Yeah.
I mean, what else were they supposed to do with that plot? I thought the plot was fine. The treatment of it was great. The effects were fantastic.
Yeah. Well,
they treat it with the reverence that they treated that, you know, and waited 20 years to get it right. I can see them. I can see him pulling totally off a good it. Star Wars movie.
And without him there, I mean, Lucasfilm is still going to be doing the Star Wars movie. I mean, the people over at Lucasfilm right. will still be doing the movie. Right. And Kathleen Kennedy, I think, is the one he's put in charge. Yeah. So George is just a creative consultant. He's not there right. saying, this is what it's going to be, this is what it's going to be, this is going to be. And a lot of people were, oh, well, Disney will make it Disney-fied, and they'll do this. They've left Pixar. I mean, yeah. Pixar's become great because Disney bought yeah. Pixar, and they kept them. And they've kind of just let them do their own thing and grow. I mean, and Pixar's great.
Yeah.
And Marvel, they bought Marvel, and Marvel's films are epic. They're huge. I mean, Marvel Studios handles them, but they let them do their own thing, right. and they promote it, and they make it into something huge. And Marvel Comics, I think, are getting better now that Disney's kind of maybe taking a stand inside that.
Yeah.
And so they've taken these other companies and just kind of made them better and better. So I don't see how them buying out Lucasfilm is a bad thing.
Disney doesn't just make Disney films yeah. anymore. I mean, everything isn't, you know, Pocahontas or whatever.
Exactly.
They have branched out. And like I said, you know, Tron, but you Pirates of the Caribbean.
Well, those are great. Well, the first one's great.
The first one's great.
But they made a franchise.
But they made a franchise out yeah. of it. And, you know, those aren't little kid movies. No. You know, that's a solid,
yeah.
good movie. And, you know,
I'm excited.
I think it's good. I think it's a good move because I'm tired of everything else that's going on yeah. with it. Every decision that he was making was a bad one.
Really bad.
Much.
Really bad. I kind of wish this would have happened before the prequels.
I do too.
Because we would have had good prequels. I'm excited too. About 7, 8, 9. I wish the prequels would have been better.
Yeah.
Because I'm always going to have those, and that's the backstory, and we right. can't get past that.
Right.
We can't change what episode 1, 2, and 3 are now. And what Darth Vader was and all these things. But if you can cap the story with 7, 8, 9 and end on a better note than it begins, then hopefully it'll kind of change my whole view of the whole thing, is right. that it gets better if they can
right.
kind of elevate it a little past what we've had in those past three films. I do hope that 7, 8, 9 focus on Luke. You know, like
yeah.
that we don't just jump to something else, 7, 8, 9. They've already said it won't be an established story. It won't be like the Thrawn trilogy, or it won't be stuff from the comics like Dark Empire or anything like that.
Yeah.
It'll be a new story that we haven't seen before, which I'm glad about.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't want something I've already read
yeah.
to be on the screen. But I do want Luke there.
Yeah.
I mean, even if you can't get Harrison Ford to come back as Han, and you can't get Carrie Fisher's kind of not really Leia-like anymore.
No.
If you can't get all those back, at least have Luke there, like as the Jedi mentor or
yeah.
a Jedi spirit, even at that, if you're going to go future time forward a bunch. Get Mark Hamill back into the shape he needs to be in for this, and
I would love to see Mark Hamill.
I would love
Hamill
to see him
back
as an old Jedi.
And be an
old Jedi
training,
Luke
training people.
Oh my goodness, it'd be great.
Yeah,
and that could be your connection to those original films. If you just get Mark Hamill back as Luke,
yeah,
that's all you really need to reconnect to those films.
Yes,
You don't really need a Harrison Ford Han Solo because you can say Han and Leia are off doing their own thing,
right?
And Luke's got his own Jedi temple or whatever, and he's training a new Jedi right. or something like that. He could become the Obi-Wan character of these new films.
Yeah.
Because when you see Obi-Wan in the original trilogy, you know he has a connection to something, but you don't see those connections all around him all the time.
Right.
You don't see, you know, the things that are from the prequels connected. You don't see Qui-Gon there or something like that, or Mace Windu there with him. But you just take it that he had his own adventures, and now they're over, and here we have old Obi-Wan in 4, 5, and 6. Just like in 7, 8, 9, you could have, here's old Luke, he had his adventures in 4, 5, and 6, but all we have is Luke now, and he's in a new story with these new characters and things like that.
Yeah,
I really hope that Mark Hamill's back as Luke. I really, really, really hope that.
We can cross your fingers.
I'm going to cross my fingers. I'm sad to say I don't think they're going to.
Yeah.
But I wish they would. That would be a really great thing, I think.
It would be great. I you know...
Definitely don't recast Luke.
No. They have a lot of potential to do some good with it, and
yeah.
just slow it down. I don't need a lightsaber fight every
oh.
5 minutes. I don't need
twirling,
you know,
and flipping and all that.
I don't need them talking about lightsabers.
Midichlorians. Bring back the force being the force.
Maybe we'll have to do a fight with our lightsabers.
We can settle this with our lightsabers.
We've
Yoda
tried
the man.
Force. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want any of
that
stuff.
Want that stuff.
I don't want flippy giant flipping around crazy Yodas. It just look at the prequels as a blueprint of what not to do.
Basically.
With 7, 8, and 9.
Look at, if you think about Return of the Jedi in terms of Disney, that almost feels like a Disney movie.
It feels
movie.
Like a Disney
that,
movie.
And that's fine.
In
that's
fact,
great.
If you go back and look at all three films, they all feel
they
like
been.
They could have been Disney films. And even Lucas was being interviewed about this whole thing, and he said, when I shopped it around, the original Star Wars, a lot of people were telling me, this should be a Disney film.
Yeah.
And, you know, you go back and look at those first three, and they do kind of feel like they could have been Disney films, you know?
Definitely the second two.
Oh, definitely the second two.
I mean, the last two.
Yeah.
First one...
I think first one I could see. Like, you think about Black Hole or something like that?
Yeah. That's how I think of... Tron? That's how I think of Empire a little bit. But yeah.
I can see those...
It definitely could be.
I have high hopes. I'm going to try not to get too excited, because we saw what happened last time we got excited about new Star Wars films. I think we'll both be there opening night, regardless of...
Yeah, probably.
Everything. When Joe will be there, too. Regardless of what Joe tells me in the texts, Joe Younger will be at the midnight showing of Star Wars Episode 7.
That's right, Joe Younger.
Yeah, right. You hear me right now, Joe Younger?
You will be there.
You're either going to be there, or we're going to duct tape you to a rolling chair and take you there. One of the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to be there, or you're B square.
B square. I think that's a long episode.
That's long.
We didn't really think it was going to be this
45 minutes.
We got to stop, man.
We're done.
We got to stop.
We're done.
We've lost tons of people.
All right.
Sorry it wasn't this funny this time, but there were a lot of things we had to tackle. So there's not always time for jokes.
You can't just cut up
every
time.
There's always time for little jokes. Little funny jokes. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. Oh, I tell jokes on the air. Oh, I make funny little jokes.
I like to laugh with these guys. Okay.
I make funny little jokes I can laugh about at home. Oh, what was that joke? I'm going to replay it.
We got to get serious sometimes, folks.
Yeah.
Okay? All right.
Ugh.
That's like we're discussing with them. They haven't done anything.
With the fans.
All right. This has been Mike and James with Action Features. Oh, man, I had something.
I don't have anything.
And I lost it.
I don't have anything. We've been talking too long.
Shoot.
Forget it.
Oh, I lost it. Never mind. You know what it's been. We'll catch you next time around.
Yeah. Right. Hey, you smell the devil.